Hi, I'm Kathy Garver, and I'm the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
You have joined us into the world of entertainment here at On Screen and Beyond. This is episode 624 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we have Sissy from Family Affair. Joining us, Kathy Garver is going to be joining us, and she's got a lot to talk about, and we are going to be having that coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. And I hope you had a great week, and things are just moving along. And I also want to remind you that, once again, about the big thing that's coming up at the Arinda Theater in Arinda, California, and that is going to be happening on May 26th through the 28th. And it's called Behind the Golden Curtain. Like last year, they had the Land of the Lost. This year, it is celebrating the Golden Girls TV show. And guests are going to be including the writers, directors, producers, guest stars from episodes of the Golden Girls, all sorts of stuff, panel discussions and trivia and lectures, and get ready for a good time. Be sure to look that up, and we'll be giving you more information as far as who's going to be there. So as soon as we get more information on that, we will let you know. We also want to thank all the people who have been downloading On Screen and Beyond and listening. If you've been here from the beginning, we appreciate you. And if you're brand new, welcome. And hopefully you're going to look back in our archives, our reruns, as we call them here, and go to On Screen and Beyond. Or you can go to any of the providers of podcasts. They all have our episodes there. And we are, like you say, 624 episodes, and we've had some fascinating guests, and I'm sure there'll be somebody who, no matter what age you are, you'll find somebody who you'll be interested in hearing their story directly from them. All right, so we appreciate it, and if you could pass a word, you know, to other people to let them know about On Screen and Beyond, get the word out, download as many episodes as you can, and, you know, listen to them, and we appreciate that. Gets the word out, and all these different podcast providers and everything. It helps us move up the ranks and everything. So, you know, we'll give you more episodes as we go along, and we thank you so much for doing that. All right. Like I said earlier, Kathy Garver is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes here on Screen and Beyond, and she was Sissy. She's going to be at the Arinda Theater on April 1st. That's a Saturday at 12:30 with her new movie that is out. It's going to be called Yellow Bird, or is called Yellow Bird, and you can see that at the Arinda Theater on Saturday, April 1st. So we'll be talking about that in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. So what do you say? Let's get into it. It is time for Remake Madness right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake Madness and sequels and prequels. We're mixing them all up now, all together. And on March 26th, you can see the remake of Charles Dickens' Great Expectations on FX on Hulu. Now, this is going to be a series. And the short story from Stephen King's Night Shift, The Boogeyman, from 1973, gets remade into a film in theaters on June 2nd. So Stephen King is back, and another telling of Dracula is on the way with The Voyage of Demeter. And that's coming on August 11th. And Denzel Washington is back, and he's reportedly going to be in the cast of Gladiator 2. Jerry Bruckheimer says he wants Johnny Depp back for the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie in some capacity. And Orlando Bloom says he's interested in returning, but Keira Knightley, well, she's not so much. She says there is no need for her character to return. So we'll see what happens with that. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, well, you can catch Morgan Freeman in A Good Person in select theaters on March 24th and everywhere on March 31st. And it looks like Seth Rogen is producing Joyride, and co-screenwriter of Crazy Rich Asians wrote the film, and it arrives on July 7th. And you can look for Hilary Swank to star in Ordinary Angels in theaters on October 13th, and it is based on a true story. That's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD and streaming.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Well, it looks like Insidious gets its 4K Ultra HD limited edition steelbook release on June 20th before the new film hits theaters. And on March 31st, you can catch The Unheard on Shudder. And Transfusion with Sam Worthington lands on DVD and Blu-ray on April 18th. And Kelsey Grammer and Joel Courtney star in Jesus Revolution, out on Blu-ray and DVD on April 25th. And The Triangle of Sadness also lands on Blu-ray and DVD on April 25th. And on April 25th, you can still catch Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3 as it flies on the Blu-ray and DVD. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it is TV and Entertainment Time. TV and Entertainment Time, Mama Goldberg, Wendy McClendon Covey, is set to star in a pilot for NBC, a hospital sitcom comedy called St. Denis Medical. And Kelly McCreary of Grey's Anatomy has announced her exit from the show. She played Maggie Pierce, Meredith's half-sister. Seems like everybody's just leaving that show. I don't know what's happening. And sadly, Lance Reddick of The Wire and John Wick fame has passed at the age of 60. That's it for TV and Entertainment Time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, Kathy Garver. We saw her grow up on TV as Sissy on Family Affair, and she is going to be at the Orinda Theater in Orinda, California on April 1st, Saturday, from 12:30 to, I believe, around 3 o'clock. They're going to be showing her movie, Yellowbird. She's going to be there. I hope you're going to go to that. And that's it. Kathy Garver, she is next right here on Screen and Beyond. Joining us today on Screen and Beyond is an actress who was part of the classic TV show Family Affair in the 60s and 70s in the role of Sissy. On April 1st at 12:30, she will be at the Orinda Theater in Orinda, California, for a showing of her latest film, Yellowbird. It's Kathy Garver. Kathy, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Thanks, Brian. I'm very happy to be here.
And I say welcome to On Screen and Beyond. I should say welcome back to On Screen and Beyond, because 13 years ago on episode 120, where people can go and listen to that one and hear some of the stuff that you've told us back then. But you have been a past guest here. And thank you for joining us once again.
My pleasure. And, you know, actually nothing's happened or changed since those 13 years.
Well, you know, I'm looking at your IMDb, and there's a lot of things that have changed. You've been in a lot of stuff since then.
Yes, I have been a busy bee. I've written, well, since it's 13 years, I've written 5 books.
Wow.
And I've made, 5 movies and done a ton of commercials and voiceovers and audiobooks, and moved from Northern California to Los Angeles, but I'm away in Bell Canyon, which is nice. It's more of an equestrian center. That's the way it started out, and I can still see the horses going down the path. So it's a lovely, quiet, nice getaway.
It's not the rat race of LA.
No, but we have coyotes and squirrels and bunnies and other things.
That's nice. Yeah. So you have a new movie out.
I do. And we are having the first screening of it at your brother's fabulous, fabulous theater in Orinda, the historic and classic Orinda Theater. That is such a gorgeous theater. And Derek does such a good job in running it and managing it and bringing all kinds of wonderful people and films to it.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people I've had from events that he's having there. And it's, you know, I love that because I get to talk to a lot of different people, but, you know, it's independent theaters just have to do different things in order to stay alive.
Yes. And he's alive and well. We did the premiere of Hercules Saves Christmas there, which he also produced, and it was fun. And my whole family went to that one. Yeah. And, that was my first experience, I think, in going to the Orinda. And I have friends around Orinda that have already bought their tickets, because besides just the screening, I'm going to do a Q&A. How did Yellow Bird come about, and what does it mean? After the people see the picture, they'll know what Yellow Bird is. How did one think of Yellow Bird in the first place? And talk about the writer, Tony Jarrus, who is just wonderful, and the producer, and one of the stars, Angus Benfield, and I play his mother in the movie. Mm-hmm. And he is just a multi-talented person. We're already working on our next project.
Wow.
And along with the writer, Tony Jarrus. So it's a real talented crew. Each one of the characters is different and viable and relatable. And I play, as I say, my son, and he was once a successful PR person, but he fell in love with the wrong person, and she's not such a hot person, and lost a lot of money. So anyway, it takes place in a grocery store. And that's its primary location. And we shot it in Redding, California. It was kind of tough finding a grocery store that we could totally take over.
Right.
But there's a chain up there called the Holiday Markets. And just coincidentally, I have a cousin up there who used to work for that market. See, God, there are no coincidences. God puts you where you're supposed to be at the right time in the right place.
Mm-hmm. That's a rough idea of what the movie is about. Unfortunately, not everybody who's listening will be able to go to Orinda to see the film, but we really want to know what it's about and what you're doing in it. And so how did you get involved with it?
Well, actually, again, I've gotten a lot of parts this way. But the woman that they had hired to play the mother had to drop out a week before they were all set, and they were already shooting. And that's kind of the way I even got the part on Family Affair. So my past manager agent was working with them on the film, and she says, I know who would be absolutely perfect for this role. So I didn't audition or do anything, and she, of course, knew me. And they trusted her, and I believe they're glad they did, because I've gotten very good reviews. And for all your listeners that can't go actually to the film, and it will be in select theaters, but, you know, as soon as it was finished, Amazon Prime just scooped it right up.
Oh,
they loved it.
Great.
So they can watch it on Amazon Prime. They can watch it on Tubi. There is another one another platform that just picked it up, and it's just been getting super, super reviews. It has won 4 Best Picture awards.
Yeah.
When it first came out, the Santa Monica Film Festival nominated it for Best Feature Film, and Angus was out of town doing another movie, and so he said to Tony Jarrus, the writer, can you please just go attend? And he says, well, all right. So he put some clothes on real quickly, because it was just, everything is very fast, it seems, that's working on this. And so he went down to Santa Monica. He lives close. And don't you know, they announced Best Feature Film, Yellowbird, and he wasn't even prepared for a speech.
Wow.
And he said that in his speech, but he was very grateful and very gracious. And then it went on to win the international awards in Singapore, the Best Feature Film, in Milan, Italy, for their film festival, the Best Feature Film. Back in the States, MoBig, another film festival, won the Best Feature Film Award. So I think it's got some legs on it.
Great. Gee. Now, what do you categorize it as? Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? Is it a where would you fit it?
I would fit it as a dramedy. Mm-hmm. And it's got an interesting style. It's kind of like an office style of shooting. It's very realistic. And we also have the pitch out for a series. It started out in the concept mode as a television series.
Oh.
And then they decided, you know what, let's do this as a movie instead of a series. So they made some adjustments and they had this really good screenplay, and it worked beautifully as a movie. And now it's we're going to put it on, hopefully soon, as a series. We've already got the pilot and three or four of the episodes written. Now we're just searching for the right platform.
Wow, good luck with that.
Yeah, and since Amazon just loved it so much and just scooped it right up, I mean, that might be one of our first places. But, you know, that is in the future, but that's coming along.
Yeah.
But people can certainly watch it wherever they are. Now on Amazon Prime, and as I say, on Tubi, and there's Monety, is that, I forget actually the name of it, but and there's another platform that it's available to watch.
There's so many platforms now.
Yes, and if people like it, please review it if you like it. If you don't say anything, but if you love it, like so many people have, you know, then please write us a review, because that always helps. You know, get the rating up and all of that.
Yeah. Now, do you know how they came up with the name Yellowbird? Or does that Does that give any plots away that we shouldn't know yet?
Well, Yellowbird is the name of the market. The holiday market, and it's renamed it's the Yellowbird.
Okay.
But I have a little dementia, my character does, and my poor son, after this awful woman kicked him out and took all of his money, and he has to now work, instead of being this great PR person, he has to work at the market as a stock boy. He was taking anything. And he had a little bit of a drinking problem, and so I live in a big RV that's parked in the parking lot of the grocery store. And he comes and he stays with me. And so we're having a conversation, and he says, oh, you know, Yellowbird comes up. And my son says, oh, you mean where you shop, Mom? And I said, no. Alice does the shopping for me now. The Yellowbird, it's the one thing and the one person in your life that you can't live without. And if you find your yellow bird, you're the luckiest person in the world. And if you don't, you're eternally screwed. So that's what the yellow bird is significant. And there's a lovely couple song, yellow bird in the banyan tree. And there's the music that kind of goes along with it, with the yellow bird.
Oh, okay.
So it has a lot of different connotations within the movie itself.
Hmm. Yeah. So I also look up and I see that you have a lot of other projects in the works. Is that correct? Or so I know sometimes that the things are listed and they're not happening, but do you have any other projects that you have, you know, in the wings?
Yes. So June 1st will be the premiere of another movie that I shot. And we shot that in Houston, not with the same company. It's Johnny Ray Gibbs with Gibbs Entertainment. And it's called Old Man Jackson. And this is, it's the story. This is a comedy. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no, this is definitely a comedy. And this is about my poor husband who is really having a bad day. And it's through everything that he goes through. And I'm his wife, and I contribute, I think, to some of his problems in a comedic way. And he owns this mechanic's garage that's right next to our house. And so it's the goings on of in all of his adventures during this day and what happens to him. And my friend Butch Patrick from the Munsters is in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to give too much of a spoiler for the part he plays, because that would give away some of the movie. But this is it's a fun, entertaining movie. Right now it stands at 2.5 hours. So I suggested to the producer, I says, now you know what you can do, Johnny Ray. He says, just take this and divvy it up into 6 episodes. So he took that to heart. So we might do that. But the premiere is June 1st in Houston. And we're going to have lights, camera, action. And I think we'll stick with the red carpet and not get the champagne carpet out
there. Yeah, you don't want to start a big controversy.
Yes. And don't you think like a white champagne carpet gets really dirty with all those muddy boots and from the rain?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're constantly busy, it seems like.
Yes, and I've done my latest books. I do a lot of audiobooks, but my latest one is A Cat's Tale of Heaven, and it's by Dr. Fred Eichelman. And these are absolutely charming books about a cat and then his companion. And it's A Cat's Tale of the Nativity started out the series. There are 4 books now. He wrote them and I recorded them and narrated them. Mm-hmm. And no one knew that there was a cat at the Nativity. But cats were around. So it's from the cat's point of view. Oh. So it's A Cat's Tale of Nativity. And it's A Cat's Tale of the Resurrection, of what happened during the resurrection. It's A Cat's Tale of, a glimpse of heaven, along with his little baby cat and his faithful companion dog, and Hatul is the name of the cat. So it's their adventures. Hmm. So the last one, that Cat's Tale of Heaven, that just came out. Those are all available on Amazon, and all my books are available on Amazon. My latest one that just came out is A Family Affair Scrapbook. So it's a compilation of all the memorabilia, pictures of memorabilia, and then there are bios of all our guest stars and what's happening now. And it's really colorful and fun. And it's like a scrapbook. So it's just got tons of pictures and pages of the script. So that's available on my website, which is kathygarver.com. How original is that? But also on Amazon. And this year, I hope to have out Romancing with the Stars. And I'm writing that with my co-author, Doug Hartline. And we've interviewed friends and celebrities like Paul Peterson and Rita Lee, mm-hmm. and Keith Thibodeau, that was on Lucy, and how they met their Yellowbird. Really, how they met the one person in their life that meant the most to them, that they couldn't live without. And the tales are wonderful. We just did Margaret Carey, who was Tinkerbell's.
Yes.
The model for Tinkerbell in Disney. Oh, and she just has a wonderful tale to tell. And she married her 90-year-old high school sweetheart, and she's almost 90. They were both married beforehand, but this is their yellow bird.
Wow.
So we tell the tales of their romance, and then how the the readers can go to a romantic spot, and we give like a little travelogue of good things to do and good things to see. I met my and he interviewed me, and I've been married 42 years. Strange since I'm 39, right? But I've been married 42 years, and he asked me to marry him when we were in Monaco during the fireworks celebration. There have been a couple fireworks during those 42 years, but we ate at these most fabulous places, and we stayed at the Vistaro, which is just a gorgeous hotel overlooking Monaco. And so we're doing like good places in France and to eat. And right down from Monaco is this wonderful little feudal village that's still there that has fabulous food. So that book will be coming out. And then I'm also working on another book. I started this book before that book, but called TV Dinners, TV. Mm-hmm. And we've done the pilot for TV Dinners. And I believe that is going to be on a brand new nostalgic network, a retro network that is landing April the 3rd.
Oh,
so okay. It's going to launch April the 3rd. It's called NOST, NOST. Hmm. And it will show classic movies, classic TVs. I'm going to do a show. I'm going to do 28 episodes of a show for them, kind of like a Turner Classics movie. So I'll do the intros, yep, and the extras and introduce it. But this is going to be wonderful because it's one of the few stations, like, they have a lot of them, Cozy and MeTV and, yep, all of this, but they really don't do original programming. Mm-hmm. So NOST is like the show that I'm doing, and like just TV Dinners. We have a couple other shows that we have in mind. So I think that's going to distinguish it from the other nostalgic people, and people are just, you know, pining for the good old days.
Yeah.
Give me something simple. Stop, yeah, with all this, you know, special effects. And doesn't anybody do like stories anymore? And does everyone, all of these shows have to have violence and insults and, mm-hmm, this and that? So yeah, that's why, in my personal opinion, the classic shows are so popular, and why this network will do quite well.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, one thing I noticed is, with this conversation, a lot of the things that you were working and involved with, you used the word good in them. And that is nice, because like you say, everything is so violent and everything now, but you're doing a lot of shows and movies and TV, you know, books and things like that, that give people something good to watch as opposed to, you know, violence and all that stuff. So I think that's great.
Well, hopefully there's a story about it, and it follows a classic kind of formula of what the problem is, and then scaling a tree and looking around, trying to solve the problem and sliding on down with a little moral at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we go through all of that? And hopefully most of the things that I do are inspirational, and even Yellow Bird is very touching, and it's overcoming a lot of different things that people go through every day. And it leaves people with hearts and hope,
yeah,
which I think is totally necessary today. I just did an interview with Morgan Brittany and our friend Julie Rimes, who's a curator at the San Fernando Valley Relic Museum, and she was doing an exhibit of Johnny Crawford, who has passed, mm-hmm, away,
yeah,
and we had both worked with Johnny. But she was asking us, you know, because Morgan started out as Susan Capito as a child actor, and I started out, I mean, you know, my first movie was The Ten Commandments, not the silent version.
Yeah. Still, make sure we get that in there.
Yes. And it was a while ago. But we, you know, we were child actors. And one of my books is Ex-Child Stars, Where Are They Now? And if there is something that, and we look back at our career, and both of us were happy to say that everything we have done, you know, we can be proud of, we can show it to, well, she has a grandchild. my son and daughter in love have not graced me with that little packing bundle of love yet, but that they could watch it, mm-hmm. you know,
yes.
and be proud of what we did. And they weren't like X-rated things. And I was listening to a local show here at KTLA, and Sam Rubin, he says, well, we have a trailer, but I don't even know if we can even show it. It is so risque. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Jeez. One of the most risque things, you know, like tempting is, oh, well, you know, this is just going to be, you know, eye-opening. Mm-hmm. Well, who wants their eyes opened like that?
Right.
I mean, you know, give me a break. And there are so many things that are falling off the edge. I know that the cable stations and Netflix and all the some of the other platforms started those so they could be edgy, because the CBS, ABC, NBC, they were all regulated, and you couldn't, you know, show this particular thing, or you couldn't, you know, have something. And hopefully now you can't have real bullets on the stage or in a film, but their supposed secret to success would be the edginess of things, the violence of things. Well, can't we show more? Can't we show this? Can't we show that? And evidently, I did not watch this trailer. I left to go wash my hair for my radio interview. You know, but that's. And they're pulling back. You know, some of them, Netflix was just so over the tail, mm-hmm. and they lost so much money, and so many people just canceled their subscription. They said, this is what you're giving us to watch? This pap?
Yeah.
So they pulled back, thank goodness.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, you mentioned that your first movie was The Ten Commandments, and we talked about that in the last time we were on in episode 102, if people want to go listen to that. But even before those, you did some TV shows as you were, you must have been quite young when those were on, but you were in some real classics like Our Miss Brooks, and one of my favorites growing up as a little kid, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Now, you did some really early hit TV shows.
And it's interesting because those particular shows started out as radio shows.
You're right.
And that was right when the radio and television was coming to the fore, and people saying, what's that little black box? Well, no one's going to watch that. You just have to listen to something. Well, they were proved wrong.
Right.
But I even did radio. I did a lot of classic radio things from CBS radio. But on Our Miss Brooks and Sergeant Preston, these were the actual shows. And Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, and I did Jim Bowie, and I did a lot of Westerns. Mm-hmm. I love Westerns. And as a matter of fact, I belong to the Real Cowboys, R-E-E-L Cowboys, and they put on the Silver Spur Awards every year. Well, we had our St. Patrick's Day brunch for the Real Cowboys on Saturday. No greenhorns. Joke. Wink, wink. But they just announced that they're giving me a Silver Spur Award.
Well, congratulations.
Award show September 15th this year. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, when you did Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, had you ever watched the show? Did you know of the show when you were on it? I mean, every kid wanted to have King as their dog.
Right. Yes. And I love dogs. I like all animals. So I was just enthralled with the dog. I didn't really, though, know about the whole setup, but it was just so intriguing. Because I'm a suburban girl, mm-hmm. I was born in Long Beach and in California, and we lived in Baldwin Hills and we lived in Beverly Hills. And this is why I'm glad to be out in the country with the horses again. But it was tantalizing and exciting to be like in this log cabin and this very handsome man, you know, big man in a red coat and this white hat. And the dog I just absolutely adored and was just so sweet. Yeah, I have great memories of doing my shows as a child. Mm. I had lots of fun.
Yeah,
I had good parents.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Mark Cuban, and if you love TV, listen to Brian Zemreck and On Screen and Beyond. It's the ultimate television podcast.
Now, I have to talk about Family Affair because, I mean, that is forever you will be Sissy. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want to peg people into a certain thing, but you are Sissy. I mean,
And I like Sissy and I, we're friends. I mean, to me, acting is, you have to be who you are. I mean, you can't play a character with a different heartbeat or, you know, a different, you know, basic personality. There is a lot of me in Sissy. Mm-hmm. And we've remained friends, you know, throughout the years. And she opened a whole cottage industry for me. My stepson makes Sissy candles, these fabulous candles, and Sissy candy bar. And the show is still on. It's on MeTV. It's on Amazon. It's on some of the free platforms. It's on YouTube. And we have an Aunt Sissy pilot that has all been made, and so we are kind of seeing what platform would be good for it.
Oh, good. Wow. Huh. So when you were on that show, it seemed like a very close knit group. And are you still in touch with like Johnny? Is do you ever see him?
I see him very rarely. And, you know, when you're doing a series like that, and there's two adults and then a young adult and two little kids, first of all, that there isn't a lot of hanging out at the, you know, at the disco where we are with that. So we would shoot, and the kids had like 3 hours of school every day and 1 hour lunch. They really were on the set for maybe a couple hours a day. Sebastian, unfortunately, had some illnesses. So he, you know, he had to spend a lot of his time just learning his lines. That was a difficulty that he particularly had. And then Brian, and Brian was great, but he had the same deal. So as Fred McMurray in My Three Sons, which was, and we were shooting 38 episodes back then, just to diverge one moment, someone is so excited and says, oh, and we've been picked up for our second season. Well, the first season was only 8 episodes.
I know. You did 1 year, and they will have to do four seasons in order to get what you did in a year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we did 120 episodes and 38 episodes per, you know, season.
Wow.
So Brian Keith had a deal with the producers that he would shoot all of his episodes just in a month and a half, which was just incredible.
Yep.
Because they would shoot all of his scenes from all the different episodes during that time. So all the scripts, you know, 38 scripts had to be done by then. And we had lots of pink and green pages to change all the time once we got there. But that was the way that it was shot. So we didn't really hang out very much. And then, unfortunately, Anissa died way too young at only 18. And then Sebastian followed just a couple of years later because he had a stroke and he had never felt quite good. And then Brian died. He had lung cancer and then took his own life. Johnny, Johnny and I were just way on different paths. He got into alcohol and drugs and this and that, and and then he got off them and is very proud to, you know, say, well, now I'm clean and sober, and he's living his life with, you know, the best that he can. But Mm-hmm. It's different from mine, and I just don't see him very often. I see him at Kanab. We do an autograph show, a Western thing up in Kanab, Utah. Oh. I see him then, but not really.
Did you realize that Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot were who they were? I mean, they were big stars, Brian especially.
You know, no. And I found out later, and of course he was in the movie with The Parent Trap, which I absolutely loved, one of my favorite movies. Mm. But, you know, one, at least in my situation, I become so busy and there's so many things to do. And at that particular time, I was doing that. I was going to UCLA. I was, you know, managing day-to-day things. Oh, now I have to get my hair cut. Now I have to get something to eat. I mean, as one does, you know, everybody does today. It, besides their job, there's the house to manage and the garden to manage, children to manage, perhaps mm-hmm. yourself to manage, or you have to do an hour of exercise, or you have to go to the grocery store, and all those things that life always intrudes sometimes on what your main goal might be. That all to say that I wasn't quite, like, I wasn't aware of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. I wasn't really aware of the other things because there was so much going on in my own life. Oh, now you have to do a publicity thing. No, now you have to do a podcast here.
Yeah.
Now you have to do a radio show. No, and you better do it. Now you have to get ready to go on an appearance and try, you know, all those things. I love it because I have a lot of energy and I got to spend it someplace.
When you look back at Family Affair, is there any certain scenes that happened, even behind the scenes that we didn't see, that were the funniest things, you know, a blooper or something, or a couple of bloopers of things that happened that we didn't see, or we did see, maybe even, who knows?
Well, we did have kind of a prankster in our associate director. And I do remember one time, and I think the scene was in Brian's bedroom, and I'm supposed to go, and he has a cold, and I'm really trying to help him and do everything. And he needed his slippers. And he says, oh, I think they're under the bed. So I go in and I pull out the slippers and I pull. And I said, what? I can't get these slippers. Well, the assistant, he had nailed them to the floor.
Oh,
well, that's really nice. You know, thank you. Thank you very much. Let's take two.
So was there a lot of that type of stuff, pranks going on while they were filming?
A couple, with the grown-ups, not necessarily with the kids, mm-hmm. but that it was a jovial set, and because it had kids on it, I mean, there wasn't any swearing, there wasn't any, you know,
right.
On-camera romances or, you know, plays. Although the our script supervisor did marry the director in the third season, Charlie Barton.
Now, I've talked with a lot of young stars during the time you were on the show or when you first started the show from different series that were on, and they always told me they used to head out, you know, when they weren't on and go to other sets and things like that. Did you ever do that sort of thing, you know, go off with just see somebody else on another set or anything like that?
Yeah, we went to Star Trek. Star Trek was right around the corner. And so I went in two, three times to watch the way that they were shooting and to say hello. And it was so different from the way that we shot, because we shot on film, first of all. And we shot the old-fashioned way, in that we would take, the first shot, the master shot. Then we'd come in and they'd maybe take a closer one of the, like if three people were talking, and they'd take, you know, maybe a twosome and a close-up. Maybe then they'd take a close-up of each person, and then they were done and they moved on. When I went to Star Trek, they had this camera, and they just, okay, action. And the camera started, and pan, and then go up, and pan, and go down. The shot lasted so long, very, very long. And it was one ongoing kind of thing. So it was interesting to contrast the way that we were shooting with they were shooting. And then Gunsmoke was on the set. my mom brought my dog to the set. Now, usually, I mean, this was before you brought your dog everywhere you went. Mm-hmm. But my mom brought my dog to the set. So we were out on the studio lot, and we were walking the dog, and we see James Arness. Oh, hi, how are you? The dog goes and pees on his leg.
Oh, gee.
embarrassing moment. I said, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. No, that's not very good, Monsieur Pierre Noir, was his name.
So wow.
That was an embarrassing moment, but obviously one I did not forget.
Yeah, I can see why. Now, Kathy, I want to take you back, and I'm just going to name a little phrase, and hopefully it'll bring back memories of it, but we'll see if it does. Lem the Orphan Reindeer.
I am. In the very midst of nowhere, Santa hollered, whoa! He spied a tiny reindeer struggling in the snow. Yes, that was written by Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
Yes, Bobby Hart's been a guest here on the show.
Oh, yeah, he's great. It's interesting the way personalities develop over time. And if they change, if they don't change, if they change for the better, if they change for the worse. But Bobby, you know, had a spiritual awakening. And what was the name of his book? Psychedelic Morning or something like that?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I think it was called Psychedelic Wednesday. So he got to Thursday, though, and Friday and Saturday. So it was all right. But so Lem the Orphan Reindeer, and we were in the studio and with Chuck Ashman, and we were recording this song, and I'm supposed to sing this song. So I start to sing, and there was, I think at that time there was a chorus of children, not quite sure. And so I get into the first couple lyrics, and he says, stop, stop. I says, what? What is wrong? He says, you're off key. I said, how could I be off key? I am not off key. I did Eliza Doolittle on the stage. I took singing. You're off key. Oh, well, so what happened and what they had me do was I did one of the first rap songs.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere, Santa hollered, whoa. And then I have a chorus of little kids in the back of me who were on key, supposedly. Dick Van Dyke always said that he was an eighth of a note off, and that just made his singing more distinguished. So I'm going the Dick Van Dyke route.
So was that that was right about in the middle of Family Affair when it was probably at, you know, really going strong. And was that an attempt to maybe move you into singing like they did with a lot of other young stars from TV shows?
Yes, I think they had high hopes till they heard me sing. No, I went on, you know, to do stage musicals. And I guess it doesn't matter as much because, I mean, I did a musical stage version of Tom Sawyer called River Adventures that a friend of mine, Jerry Malloy, adapted from the movie. And they used the music from the Sherman Brothers. The Sherman Brothers gave them full, you know, you can use our music and made this wonderful new music. Mm-hmm. And I played the aunt in it. Aunt Katie, is that her name? And but anyway, I still was probably an eighth of a note off, but I got to sing solo. I didn't mess anybody else up.
Well, Kathy, it's you know, I've tried, like I said, I tried to avoid asking you questions that we had done previously because people can always go back to episode 120 of On Screen and Beyond, either on their favorite podcast provider or at onscreenandbeyond.com, and they can hear you talk more about, you know, the working on the Ten Commandments, and more about the people in the cast of The Family Affair and everything. So I hope they'll do that, but I wanted to try to do something different for you, and I want to thank you so much, and want to remind everybody that on April 1st at 12:30, you will be at the Orinda Theater in Orinda, California for a showing of Yellowbird, your latest film, and everybody should that's in the area should be sure to go and see it. And if not, like you said, they can see it on streaming. Now, is the streaming actually ongoing now, or will it be after the showing on April 1st?
It's on now. It's on Amazon Prime right now. It's on Tubi right now. It's on this other platform that I can't remember. And Tony is going to say, oh, now tell them they can watch it on but Menotone, something like that. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Not sure if you're taping your podcast today, but Yellowbird is on Amazon, Tubi, and Momitu. Momitu.
Okay.
Momitu. Pronounced Momitu. Okay, let them know our platforms are growing. Okay, the platforms are growing. So says Tony. And and if they actually are around California, in Northern California, they can go to eventbrite.com and get tickets. And they can see the screening and question and answer, and we'll have a lovely meet and greet. And I'd love to see them all.
Yeah. And like,
and they can find out, you know, I have a newsletter and on my website, which is KathyGarver.com. And so the March newsletter just came out, and there's a link to how to get tickets as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I get that newsletter. So I am on your list.
Yeah, it's so much fun to have all this social media and like IBM, you can't lie about your age. People know where you are at all moments. Okay.
Well, Kathy, final question. When you sit back and relax, what's your favorite TV shows now and of the past? And what's your favorite movies now and of the past?
I like to watch NCIS. I watch the news a lot, only it's not very relaxing. So I like Hawaii Five-0 a lot.
The original or the new?
I like the new one.
The new one?
I like the new one. Yeah, I watch that all the time. It's so beautifully shot. And they tried a Hawaii NCIS, but I don't like that one. But I love the Hawaii Five-0, and I like the NCIS, the original, the NCIS with Mark Harmon, who I absolutely adore. Anyway. And for movies, well, I like to watch Yellowbird. My husband hasn't seen it. And so I said, for Mother's Day, this family is watching Yellowbird. I had them watch 100 Step Journey two Mother's Days ago. And I want to see 80 for Brady. So I'm going to have to wait for another Mother's Day because they won't watch that with me. But I really want to see it.
I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard people say that it's a good film.
Yes, I hope so. I mean, it hasn't gotten the best reviews in the world, but I really love those actors. And I want to see Sally Field and Jane Fonda and that old crew and Lily Tomlin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not quite that old yet, but I'm certainly climbing up the pole, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, but I want to see it. And I like Tom Brady. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy, I cannot thank you enough for joining us once again, and hopefully it won't be another 13 years before we get you back on here, but but don't forget, everybody, April 1st at 12:30 at the Orinda Theater in Orinda, California, showing of Yellowbird. Kathy will be there. The highlight, it's a good film, but also Kathy's going to be there, so that's the highlight for me, to be able to meet you, so they can go and meet you and have a good time.
Sounds good to me. Thank you very much, Brian.
And a big thank you going out to Kathy Garver for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. And if you haven't had a chance, you know, watch some episodes of Family Affair. It's a good show, and it's just so much fun. And if you get a chance on April 1st, that's a Saturday at 12:30, the Orinda Theater in Orinda, California. She is going to be at the theater, and she will be showing Yellowbird. And she'll be doing a talk for you and everything, so you can get to meet her and everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun, so be sure to check that out and just have a good time there. So we have ended another episode of On Screen and Beyond. Be sure to check us out on all the podcast providers. We're out there,
and have your friends, you know, tell them about On Screen and Beyond, and they can listen to all these amazing people that we've had over the years. It's 16 years now, so we got a lot of them, and you can check those out, and they're all up there, and I'm, you know, at onscreenandbeyond.com, you can still see them all, but still working on season 15. I think I still have some more to put up, so we'll eventually get them all up there. Then who knows, we'll probably change it, but I don't know what. Not looking forward to do that, that's for sure. It took a long time to get everything moved over this time. But, you know, if you want to check it out and if you want to download episodes, just that helps us so much when we get these downloads and people listen to On Screen and Beyond. So go ahead and, you know, just listen to while you're driving in the car or exercising or something like that. Just look over the list and see who's there that you'd like to listen to. And we've got it all. So that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.